Well, good evening, everyone. Well, hopefully this evening, hope to deal with the talk in three areas. We'll deal with who are the angels, what do they do, and finally, what does this mean for you? Now, from what I understand from Uncle Mark as well, that some of the youngsters tend to like a bit of audience participation during the talk, so I will be throwing out a few questions in the hope that I'll get some answers back as well. Now, when we look at this subject, obviously a good thing to do when we're looking at who are the angels is to actually open our concordance and to find out what the word actually means. And when we look at the word angels in the Hebrew Old Testament, it's the word malach. Now, can anybody think of a book of the Bible which sounds similar to malach? Malachi, that's right, and that's exactly what the name means, or thereabouts. Malachi means messenger of God. And when we look at the Greek word, it's angelos, and both words do mean messenger. Now, when we look throughout the scriptures, we can see that any person or being can be a messenger. We'll look at this first one, if we just look at a reference in a minute about this word malach. Can anybody tell me just briefly the story about Achan at all? Did I see a hand go over there? No. No volunteers there? Right, we'll just look at Joshua chapter 7 then. So we've just seen in the previous chapter the destruction of Jericho. You remember that the children of Israel marched round Jericho and the walls fell down, and God had said to the children of Israel that they weren't to take of any of the spoil from Jericho at all. However, there was this one individual that didn't listen to God and decided to disobey what God had said. Now, when we come to Joshua chapter 7 and verse 21, we read there, this is Achan speaking when he's confessing his sin to Joshua. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And that word messengers there, in the Hebrew, is malach. And of course, these were just normal men, which were going to be messengers for Joshua. However, of course, messengers can also be messengers, divine beings from God. And if we turn back to Exodus chapter 23, we can look at an example there. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 20. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. So clearly this was a divine being, a divine mighty angel of God. Now, when we look at a New Testament example, we said before that the Greek word is angelos. We are all familiar with the story of the birth of Jesus. And we read in Matthew chapter 1. But while Joseph thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And that angel there is the word angelos. And thinking about a human example of this word angelos, if we turn into the letter of James in chapter 2. James chapter 2 and verse 25. And we read there, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had sent the messengers and had sent them out another way. Now, as we know from the story of Rahab, these were men. But that word messengers in the Greek is the Greek word angelos. Now, in the Old Testament, when we read the word God, it's frequently translated as Elohim, which means mighty ones. And it's often used of angelic beings. Let's look at an example here back in the Old Testament, and this time Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, and he was afraid to look upon God. Now that word there in verse 4, God, is the word Elohim, which means mighty ones. And as we saw from verse 2, it's the angel of the Lord that appeared unto Moses and speaks from within the bush. And then if we turn over into Psalm 8. Psalm 8 and verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honour. Now the word angels there has been rendered such from the word Elohim. And again, it can be used to describe mortals. We turn this time into Exodus chapter 22. Exodus chapter 22 and verse 8 and 9. If the thief be not found, then the master of the house shall be brought unto the judges to see whether he have put his hand into his neighbour's goods. For all manner of trespass, whether it be for ox, for ass, for sheep, for raiment, or for any manner of lost thing, which another challengeth to be his, the cause of both parties shall be before the judges, and whom the judges shall condemn, he shall pay double unto his neighbour. And then down to verse 28. Thou shalt not revile the gods, nor curse the ruler of thy people. And the word rendered there that we saw in the word judges there is again rendered from this word Elohim. So hopefully what we've seen there, just from these passages of scripture that we've looked at, that the messenger of God can be both mortal or divine, immortal. Just check with that. Does anybody, can everybody tell me what mortal means? That's right. So of course it's any human being that lives, and of course with the angel that are immortal. But we'll look at some passages just to prove that. So we'll look at the nature of angels at this point. And one of the questions that is often thrown out by people is, well, can angels sin? So what is the, can anybody think of a good reference which talks about death being a consequence of sin at all? A very popular one in relation to money. Or wages. That's right. So death is a consequence of sin. Yet when we read the Lord Jesus' words about the angels, he says, it's talking about the resurrection primarily and those that are accounted worthy to be in the resurrection. Neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels. In other words, angels can't die, and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. So if angels can't die, they can't sin either, because that is the reward for sin, isn't it? And we also read in Romans that there is no unrighteousness with God or in the vicinity of God, near to God. So therefore, angels, divine angels we're talking about here, cannot be sinful beings according to what we read in the Bible. But of course, some would argue then, we have the quandary then, what about the passages which talk about the angels which sinned in Jude and in Peter? Well, what does the word angel mean again? Messenger, that's right. So if we have a literal divine angel that Jude and Peter are talking about, we have a bit of a problem, don't we? But it could be a human messenger that Jude and Peter are talking about, couldn't it? And indeed, in all probability, he's referring to some of the leaders of the people of Israel in the wilderness, Korah and his associates, who sought to oppose Moses. And they were human messengers for God. Now, if you turn over into Isaiah chapter 37, we'll see another aspect of what angels are like. Isaiah chapter 37 and verse 36. Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Syrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So one angel killed 185,000 men. That's one angel. That is very powerful indeed, isn't it? And the Lord Jesus talks about calling upon 12 legions of angels to fight for him if need be. And then if we look in the Old Testament, 2 Thessalonians in chapter 1, Second Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when Jesus returns, there will be these angels with him, who will do this, have this amazing power and energy. So this is another aspect of the nature of angels, that they are very powerful beings. So what do they look like then? Well, if we look into our introductory reading, into Genesis chapter 19, we'll just point out a few points from these verses. So Genesis chapter 19 and verse 1, and we read there, didn't we? And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, arose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And then verse 5, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men? And verse 8, behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye as unto them. Only unto these men do nothing. And verse 10, but the men put forth their hand. And verse 13, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord. So here we see that clearly angels look like men. But also, as we've seen there, again, this aspect that angels are very powerful. And as we know, Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. So let's just check that with the New Testament. And if we come into Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 and verse 3. In the context of the chapter, the disciples have come to... verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre bringing spices, which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And then in verse 4, and it came to pass, as they were perplexed thereabouts, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And then down in verse 23, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels, which said, he was alive. So here we see that the angels were again seen as men, but with shining garments. Now, angels have a specific status as well with regards to hierarchy. And if we turn over into the book of Hebrews, this is the verses which will tell us about this. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 4. That's in the context of talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4 there, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, verse 5. And unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Then verse 13, but to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Well, here we see we have the hierarchy of the Lord God Almighty, then the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the angels. But the angels were actually higher than the Lord Jesus Christ before he was sacrificed and raised to eternal life. Now, the other aspect about angels, of course, is that angels also have names. So can anybody give me a name for an angel? That's right. Anybody else? That's right. Now, can anybody give me a female name for an angel? Well, nobody can, that's right, because there are no female mentioned names of female angels. And that's because, as we've seen already, angels are represented as men. So what do angels do? Well, we've already seen how that they can manifest, they can use the power of God with such force as we saw in the Isaiah reading. But they also speak for God, as we also saw. But let's just look at another passage in the Old Testament which gives us an example of this in Exodus chapter 3. Sorry, we looked at that passage. I have got a note there that says don't read, but not using my notes properly, but there you go. Right, so we saw that the angel was speaking on God's behalf, wasn't he, in that passage that we looked at. Now, we also read in Genesis chapter 1 that the Elohim were involved in the creation. And if we look in Psalm 33, this also is like a summary, if you like, of what happened there. Psalm 33 and verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in the storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. And then just over to Psalm 103. We read there in verse 19. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. So notice there, these are angels that are doing God's will. They are not rebellious. They do what God commands without hesitation. They are not equal to God, but they do what he requires. And if you can remember as well the incident when the Apostle John in Revelation sees an angel. He seeks to worship the angel because of the vision which he's given. But the angel says, no, you won't worship me, worship God. So clearly, the angels recognize that God is greater than them. Now turn, if you will, into Zechariah chapter 1. Zechariah chapter 1, and we read there, "In the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo the prophet." And then in verse 7, "Upon the 24th day in the 11th month, which is the month Sivat, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo the prophet." And then verse 14, "So the angel that communed with me said unto me, Cry thou, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy." So again, this is an example to us of showing how that God is speaking, but he's speaking through an angel to his prophets. And again, an angel that is doing God's will, that is speaking God's will, that is not being rebellious. And clearly we see here that angels are not divided into two groups, as some would have us believe, good and bad angels. We also read in Habakkuk 1:13, "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity." And in Psalm 5, "For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight, thou hatest all workers of iniquity." So much scripture speaks and tells us that angels do God's will, they are not rebellious. Now angels also perform acts as though it was God doing the act as well. Turn, if you will, to Judges chapter 13 for an example of this. Judges chapter 13 and verse 19. "So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the fire went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die, because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands, neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would, as at this time, have told us such things as these." So this is Manoah and his wife recognizing that this was the work of God, but it was through an angel. Now the nature of God and that of angels was given to the Lord Jesus after he was raised. And to confirm this, just have a look at Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 and verse 33, "God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is written, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David." There we are, no more to corruption. In other words, Jesus was made immortal, which we can also read about in Hebrews chapter 2. So in conclusion then, how does all of this affect you? Well, as we saw from the Luke reference, when Jesus was talking about those who were raised to life and the angels that would not die, we have been promised that if we are true disciples of Christ, we also can inherit the nature of angels. Peter tells us, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. But it's not just only a thing for the future that we can look forward to. Because we read in the Psalms, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. And we could look at numerous examples from the Bible which talk about how the angels protected the faithful and looked after the faithful. And if we follow God and do what he wants, then his angels will care for us and protect us. So how do we attain to this wonderful hope of having that divine nature and being like to the angels? Well, we need to believe that what the Bible says is true. We need to read our Bibles as well. We need to recognise that we are mortal sinners who die. And then we need to be baptised and faithfully wait the kingdom and the resurrection. So to become like the angels, to become immortal, to do the bidding of the Lord God with great power and authority from God, then repent and be baptised. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality.